Okay, let me give you a little call. Holy kiss. I'm going to give you
a... I got this. I can control your PowerPoint, but I can't control him.
He's controlling.
So I just want you to know.
He made all of my slides. He's a servant. I am so humbled to be here today. I am. And I am so honored to have many of my friends here. I baptized him yesterday during the prayer conference as Pablote. You know, us Hispanics, we like to speak in with exaggeration. But we also love people with, you know, little things, you know, like he's Pablote. And then we have Pablito over there. And Pablito Grace is one of my best friends. We've been friends now for 28 years. He's an attorney. And as you know, his nephew just died, Jimmy Gracie. So one of the things that we do as Christians is that we enter into people's sufferings. That's prayer. We pray. Can you say arrah? We pray, okay? So we were there at the funeral, of course, with both me and my wife, with both Pablito and Colleen. This is his younger brother of 10 years younger than he is, and his older son, Jimmy, one of five kids. So just imagine your son of that you love, your first son that you have, is no longer physically with us. And I know that the pain and the agony and the confusion and the grieving. And he's one of nine siblings. Paul comes from a big family. So we love you, Pablito. And I am humbled that you came today, even as you're sick. You came today and it means a great deal to me. And I'm so thankful for your wife, Colleen, and for you two kids. We used to homeschool with them, our two boys, so we know each other really, 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 really well. And then I have my wonderful friend here who I gotten to know real well. I am so honored to know so many people, but I am honored to know our former Chief Justice of the Illinois Supreme Court. His name is Bob Thomas, and he used to kick for the Bears as well. So his wife is here with us as well. Maggie, thank you for coming, Judge. And then my soul care mentor. See, I have mentors too. I have people that pour into my life and get on my face. And this one of them is right here, Pat Savaglio, and he's here with his beautiful wife, Deanna. And he serves on the board with us. He's been on the board for about 12 years. And he's a very active part of the board. And his beautiful granddaughter, one of 10, is here. She's 8 years old, right? Amen. And then my other friend over there, Ben Aider, he was for the Bulls, you see? Bears and Bulls. And he just sang the anthem on Friday at the Chicago Bulls game. Beautiful voice. So if you want to recruit him as a voice, come on now, worship team, you need to secure my friend Ben, and he's now going with us in the prison and in the jails too. He was just with us in Cook County Jail, Division 9, which is the toughest one of Cook County Jail. And he doesn't matter that. I mean, he goes anywhere, right? Amen. Ben, amen?
Right. With the Lord.
Amen. Amen. And I want to also thank God for many of my friends. Michael is here today. He's been in prison too. We've been friends for a long time. And then my other friend, Jose. Where's Jose? Jose spent 25 years in prison. And in fact, he used to be a gangbanger. But now he joined the gang of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 And his fiance, Jackie, they have three kids all together. And he's now on parole, still on parole. So we want to help him get a good job. So we go from the jail gate to the prison gate, in between, very messy in between, and beyond. If you make the baby, you take care of the baby, right? And he came to one of our prayer conferences in prison as a gang banger. And he and many other gang chiefs came to Christ that day, the whole weekend. There's power in prayer, isn't it? There's power when we pray to the right God. And then my dear friend of many years, Pastor Phil, he's the CEO of Pacific Garden Mission. Many of the guys that he receives are from prison, right, Phil? So we've been working together. So this is all a family. It's a family, right? Belief. If you don't believe, you cannot pray. Believe in who? In our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to the Father. Exclusive way. And many of us believe, but then we doubt. When we pray, if you doubt, then you don't believe. And if you don't believe, you're not going to get the answer. Does that make sense to you guys? See, this faith that we say that we have in Christ Jesus does not go against logic, reason, nor reality. It is a real faith. Not a faith that we manufactured. It's a faith that has been given to us as a gift from God. However, our ministry is to cultivate it. If the judge over here did not practice the kick, how many times do you do that, judge? Right? If you don't practice the voice, it goes away, right? You have to practice prayer. It has to become part of your DNA. You cannot live without it. Because the more that you practice, the more you see the glory of God in you and through you and in others. So I just want to leave this here for us not to forget. Amen. Right there. It's about believing right. If we have doubt, then we have a spiritual schizophrenia. Estamos locos, arrebatados. You need to be steady in your belief system. And I teach people that we need to cultivate a belief system. The same belief for everybody who calls himself or herself a born from above. And then one more thing I wanted to share with you guys. Before I begin to preach, let me say this very, very, very carefully, because I didn't come here to offend you. I came here to equip you. I came here to encourage you, to give you hope. Especially nowadays, people are very hopeless. Esperanza, right? Gracias, Diane. I know that we are busy. I am thankful for the young people going on their mission trip. I am. I am thankful that you're going to Uganda. I've been there too. To train pastors. We need to do that. That's part of the mission of the church. I was in Uganda when my mentor Chuck Colson passed away. I was preaching at a prison in Kampala, Uganda to 10,000 inmates. And I heard that Chuck Colson, one of our heroes, right? I mean, me and the judge met, right? In Minnesota. Remember that, judge? We met in the room there with Chuck Colson, who was speaking. Was it that? Minneapolis? Yeah, Promise Keepers. And I met his father. Remember that, judge? And he met Chuck Colson, too. So Joe has been my mentor. So when he passed away, me and Barbara and I and our boys, we came back, of course, you know, to the funeral. But Joe Cousin said to me, said, Manny Mill, keep your post. Do your duty. So we keep our post from the cross. At the cross, And our duty is to pray. Many of us are busy, and I'm thankful that you're busy, but many of us are busy doing nothing. Doing nothing. Because you see, unless you have a prayer ministry, you have no ministry. Did that hurt? I don't want to hurt you. I just want to challenge you. Good preaching is to provoke you. To provoke you with truth, with common sense. And guess what? We all have a ministry. We've been given the what? Ministry of what? Of reconciliation. That's our ministry, isn't it? Bless you. That is our ministry, right? Is to what? To fulfill the Great Commission. How? In the context of the first and second greatest commandment. But that's impossible. Impossible to do. So you and I require prayer. We require God to make it happen. But many times we want to become God and we want to compete with the worship that only belongs to Him. And then we want people to look at, no. Look at the Father. It's all about the Father. So I just want to say those little things to you guys. Because we're going to be talking about prayer today. Prayer today. And before I continue, I want to thank God for a few people that made this happen. I want to thank God for the two teams, the one from yesterday and today. They did an amazing job worshiping God. Thank you. All of them. I love the little boy over here playing the drums. Amen for that. Thank you. And then, of course, without those people back there, we are nothing. So I want to thank both of the Jans over there. One is doing the sound. I think that the one Jan has been with you guys since 1978, something like that. I mean, he needs to move here. Put a bed here for him, you know. And then we had Jerry back there, and then we had Renee. So we have to be grateful. Three things. If you're a Christian, number one, pray for humility. Number two, pray for you and I to become more grateful. Grateful. Amazing grace. That's the anthem of the prisoners. We know that we need grace, don't we, Junker? Right? Be grateful. Be humble. And third, this is a tough one. Pray that you will become teachable. We don't know it all. I don't know it all. I'm in process. It's called sanctification. Amen? So, that's it. That's my few little thing that I wanted to just to say to you guys. Amen? But now, I want to thank again for your pastor because he's a man of prayer. And I want to thank for those that came yesterday to the practical, right? Interactive prayer conference. Nobody went to sleep for 7 hours. For 7 hours, it was bang, 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 wasn't it? And everybody participated, so you missed it. Some of you that did not come. We're going to do it again. So you all come. When you hear that, we're going to come again. Some amazing videos that people were crying. You were crying, right? Viva Puerto Rico, you were crying. He was crying too. Because we have some amazing testimonies. Jan Kerr, my dear friend here, Janine Mayer. She's my dear friend right there too. So we have many good friends here today. But yesterday, it all comes together. So let me just give you a little summary of what we discussed. Hallowed be thy name is the prayer. You know, when we read Luke 11, 2 to 4, And the disciple asked Jesus, teach me to pray. How did he begin? When you pray, now if you pray, when you pray, this is Jesus. Now, when you pray, what? Our Father, who are in heaven, hallowed be the name. That is the prayer. That is the prayer. Everything that we pray is to hallow his name. And then, of course, we have let your kingdom come, right? Verse 2. And then we have what? Let your will be done. Not my will, your will be done. Jesus is praying this prayer, not his will, that his Father's will be done. Number 3, he's saying, give us our daily bread. Let me stop here for a second. I put there health. I am not a health. Name it and claim it, preacher. I'm not. But I know one thing. My Father cares for your health. He does. He really does. And he cares for your entire health. He even cares for your health insurance. And for your doctors. And your housing and your clothing. You know why? Because his glory is at stake. God the Father is not an infidel. He's not an infidel. He's a good Father that will provide for you, isn't he, Phil? Don't you know that, Phil? If he doesn't provide for you, then you don't have a testimony. Because the Father loves his glory more than he loves us. That's a profound thought right there. And he's hungry for his glory. And he wants to fill you with his glory. And he wants you to shine with his glory. People need to know when you go somewhere that you're a Christian. You know why? Because you are shining with God's glory. That's salutation right there. So we care for your health. Not for you to abuse it. Not for you to buy a Rolls Royce or a big airplane. No. Just to have the basics. Because he wants you to worship him. Then number 4. Forgive our sins. I mean, how can we pray if we're not forgiven, right? So he wants to give you hope. Helping others pursue eternity. So you can help others too. And then 5. Lead us not into temptation. Because he said, Holy Father, we sang that this morning, right? Let me tell you this. The reason that we have a gospel, hear me out, this is a profound thought too, is because he's a holy father. The gospel birthed out of his holy character. He cannot be any other than holy. And his love flows from his holiness. And he came and he sent Jesus to the cross to become your substitute and mine. So you can experience his glory in his holiness and through his love. That makes sense. That makes sense. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, holiness. As well as any other prayer we pray must all be motivated and point to hallowed be thy name, which is the focus of our prayers as commanded by Jesus, which he even prayed in Gethsemane. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane. He prayed in the wilderness. He prayed on the cross, right? And why did Jesus come? He came to defend his Father's reputation. What is your ministry? What is my ministry? Is to make the Father happy. If your son or your daughter makes you happy, you're happy. If he doesn't make you happy, you're not happy. True? When you are a parent, you think about those kids all your life. Not just when they're kids, right? All your life. They are ingrained in you, aren't they? Of course they are. They are. So he prayed in Gethsemane and on the cross that he was bleeding to death. in great agony. Let me show it to you. Because you see, here today, we have many people here from many countries and many nations and many cultures and many backgrounds and many, you know, I'm Cuban and you Puerto Rican and you Mexican or you Irish or you Italian, right, Pastor Bayo? And you Italian or whatever, you know. But really, when you become a Christian, you change your identity. You really do. Because sometimes we put our culture before our real identity. You know, and when you become a Christian, the cross becomes your identity. The cross. I remind people that I am a Christian that happens to be Cuban. Do you hear that? Yeah. That happens to be Cuban. But I'm a Christian first. In other words, my faith in Christ dictates to my culture. Because I don't care from where you come from. You come from a messy culture. Me too. There are things that have to be changed, right? In our culture. So we use the cross as a filter to sift all the junk. I still eat black beans and rice. I love it. I still eat my tostoncito y madurito y ropa vieja. Oh, that's all good. But I don't do that. I enjoy because I grew up with it. And I own a restaurant too. In Caracas, Venezuela. I used to own the best restaurant in Caracas, Venezuela. When I was hiding from the FBI. So anyway, that's another story. Another story. That's my testimony, but I'm not here to talk about that. So it is from here as a reminder where I keep my post. Because one of my objective is to die to self. Because self gets in the way, doesn't it? Self is my worst enemy. It's not the devil. It's not the... No. It is me. I am my worst enemy. Don't blame people. Don't complain. People that complain the most don't pray much anymore. Anyway. So it is from here that we pray radically to love radically. Interceding for others in prayer by tabernacling with them, hence entering into their suffering. That's exactly what Moses did, as we will find out in this message in a few minutes. We're going to be talking about in a session of prayer. That's the ultimate ministry of a Christian. Yesterday we talked about supplication. That means that you pray for yourself. Talked about agonizing for others, lamenting for others. That's another type of prayer. But this morning I want to talk about intercessional prayer. So we can love radically to love radically. Interceding for others. So we as born from above Christians are required to be like Christ. That's our objective. That's our vision, isn't it? Impossible, you know, vision. But then we have a mission, right? As we enter into other sufferings, therefore, to be like Christ, we must cultivate Jesus Christ's prayer life, especially how he lamented. But most importantly, how he interceded for others, including at the cross. And at this very moment, Jesus, along with the Holy Spirit, are interceding for each other, for us, and beyond 24/7, for the greater Halloween of God the Father. Look at Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the hearts knows that the man of the Spirit is, because he, Jesus, makes intercession for the saints, that's us, according to the will of God the Father. Here's a title, which Pastor Paulote has been making fun of me. Because it is a sermon. I like to have title that is a sermon. I want to tell you in a title everything that you need to know. But of course, we're going to break it down. Okay? Here it is. What an intercessional biblical prayer looks like and its purpose, with a subtitle, The Uncompromising Glory and Promises of God the Father. Let me put this little point here, which I don't have it on my notes, but it just came to my mind. When Jesus said, and he commanded, in Mark 11, 17, he says, my house, my house, my house, my house, my house, shall be, that's a commandment, shall be a house of prayer for what? For all nations, Uganda included. You know what else we need to include in there? The prison nation. But then he says, but you have made it into a house of what? Thieves. Oh, wow, that's a pretty strong indictment, isn't it? But guess what? We're all guilty of it. You know why? Because it's not that we're not praying. Everybody's praying, but we are praying to self. And when you pray to self or you lack of praying for others, you just became a thief of God's glory. I'm going to not be asked again to come to this pulpit, but that's all right. Here's what I want us to really know and to be great by it. The real work of the church as an act of worship. Everything that we do as believers is worship, by the way. Everything. As my wife said to the ladies, even when you change pampers to your baby, that's an act of worship. It's a pretty dirty situation, but that's okay. It's intercessional prayer driven by the Holy Spirit with tenacity. You need to have tenacity and passion. You don't have to be Italian. You're both Italian, by the way. So you don't have to be Cuban or Puerto Rican. No, you have to have the passion of Christ, right? For souls, unselfish attitude and unashamed audacity that is much more concerned for the glory of God the Father than with self, like we are going to learn from Moses today. Something like this. Father, if you don't, you won't. Something radical. Father, if you don't make it happen, ain't going to make it happen. Nobody will do it. Type of prayer to experience the desperate. We are always desperate for revival. We need in the church in America now. Don't you think that we need some revival in the church in America now? I know that we've been talking about it for a long time. Let's make it happen. I want to experience that revival of the great awakening that George Whitefield experienced in the 70s. I want to see it now before I go to my next house. I'm going to be moving, you know. I'm moving, Paulie. I'm moving too, to a new address. It's called my heavenly address. I'm going to prepare a place for you, says the Lord. He's going to prepare already my honeymoon suite. Let's get married. Honeymoon suite. Amen? Please listen carefully and prayfully. Here is the good and radical news. God the Father desires to fill everyone here with his adopted children, with his overflowing glory. Go for the big one. Moses, pray it. I want to see your glory, Father. And to experience his permanent presence, just like Moses did. Father, if you don't go with me, I don't want to go. Pray that prayer. If you are not sensing God, the Father, being with you in what you're involved in and his presence, don't go. It's not from God. It's not from God. But many of us go and then we ask for the blessing. No. Don't go unless you have the blessing. Keep praying in there. Keep persisting there until you get the glory, and then you get the approval from God. Not from people, but from God, your Father. Does that make sense? And beloved, if we as his adopted children born from above are filled with our Father's glory, then we don't need anything else. Because it is then that we are experiencing the abundant life of Jesus Christ, purchased with his very sinless blood and promised to us in John 10:10b as his younger brothers and sisters. How many people do you know that are experiencing that abundant life? I don't know too many. We must keep it 100. We must put on our gloves so we can catch everything that he sends us. And don't keep dropping the ball. Don't drop the ball. When the Chiefs used to play football, if the wide receiver or the fullback or whatever dropped the ball, we call that what? Fumble. Don't fumble the ball because the other team is going to get it and maybe a score and you lose the game. Secure the ball. Secure the catch. That requires God to help you make it happen. Ask. I'm sorry, my brother. I'm not going to ask you for your hands again. But secure, ask God to secure your hands. To secure your hands. To receive all the blessings, all the benefits that God the Father gave Jesus, your older brother, that he wants you to experience without interruption or distraction. That's biblical. That's biblical. We are cheating ourselves. I am not a charismatic. I'm just a biblicist. But I know what God says in his word. Jesus has given us his abundant life. And many of us are too depressed. We are too wimps. We are too testy. We get angry too quickly. Pray for capacity to get it. To take the hit. To take the punch. To take the abuse. Take it. It's okay. But keep praying. Have God with you. And his presence is. It is so important. Therefore, as I wrote in the back of my book. Of our book. Radical Prayer. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, big things happen. Not for yourself. Not for myself. But for the greater glory of his holy and majestic name. Here is a biblical text for this morning. And I would like us all to read it together. There is something about when we come in koinonia, in unison, and we read the word together. Here is our text from the book of Exodus 32:1-14. And just to remind you, this is the all-sufficient, reliable, redemptive, transformative, and yes, all delicious word of God. I would encourage you to prayerfully read it later today. Not just this 40 minutes, but go from 32 chapter to 34 chapter. It all comes together. This morning, I went from 32 to 39 just to refresh myself again. To get a greater and deeper understanding of the holy, long-suffering and loving character of God. You know what I'm after this morning? About character. Character. For you and I to adopt Christ's character. It's about character. They can tell anything about you, that's okay. They can criticize you, that's okay. But they cannot deal with your character of integrity. And that requires prayer of God the Father and his glory in the context of intercessional prayer for such a time like this. People are talking about a bunch of stuff, we complain, but we're not praying. So let's read together God's word. Come on, Is it on the screen, Pastor? Amen. Can we start together? Come on, let's go. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us God that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wife, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it in an engraved tool and made a molten calf. Then they say, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. Then they rose early in the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offering. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molten calf and worship it and sacrifice to it and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people, and indeed this is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with a great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, to harm them and to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember, hallelujah, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he will do to his people. Wow. That's an answer to prayer. What prayer? A prayer of intercession. A prayer of intercession. This is an incredible text. We're going to move quickly here, but I'm going to break it down for you because I want you to get it. I want you to get it. I was telling Pablote yesterday and the church that was here, it is my prayer that this church will become a house of prayer. Amen. Only one amen? Amen. only one amen from a Puerto Rican.
It's a start.
Thank you. Let me tell you what I mean. You see, many of us have the same vocabulary, but a different dictionary. And unfortunately, even for us preachers, we have to define terms. That's sad. Because many people don't even know who Moses was. Moses, who's Moses? I mean, we have to define because people don't understand. People are not educated. All the books that we have and schools that we have, people are not educated. Let me tell you what I mean. Whatever day of the week you choose, I don't care, Monday night, Tuesday night, don't choose Thursday night because that's RTO. Right. But you can choose Wednesday night, whatever night you choose. That you come here for 2 hours, maybe three, maybe an hour and a half. As a church, as a body. and that that night will become more important than Sunday morning. That's what I mean. Get that? And give me a little challenge. Because it's going to multiply the church. It's going to multiply the church. Because you're going to be in a seating for people in the neighborhood. God, bring them over here. I mean, this church is a treasure. You are a well-kept secret. I've been speaking about you guys. That's why we have some other people here today. Because you are a treasure with your pastor here, with you, other Pastor Dan, and with your worship teams, and with your elders, with my friend over here. That's the youngest guy over there. Did a great job yesterday. He's what, 45 years old, right?
Just 40.
Just 40. Man, I'm making you older. And then he told me that there's a guy here who's 75, right? So from 40 to 75, all the others with so much wisdom, right? So that's what I mean. Now, let me break this down for you. Now, there are two basic teachings here. Number one, who was Moses? Well, let me give it to you. Moses was not only God's Yahweh chosen to deliver. God wants to deliver you from being so passive and being so shallow and being so testy or whatever. Deliver you. Pray for that. Deliver you, the people from Egypt. What is Egypt? Even you have to explain that too. Egypt, what is Egypt? Oh, yeah. No. Egypt. Egypt is what? A slavery. Bondage. Self is Egypt. Insecurity is Egypt. Misery is Egypt. Death is Egypt. But Moses was also a priest. What does that mean? He was in a sitting for the people. He was also a prophet. He was speaking to the people on behalf of God. He was also an ex-criminal. Hello? And for our purpose here today, he was a type of savior. He was a mediator. He was an intercessor. A great intercessor. So from now on, your name is Moses. Let's make sure. What's your name again, sir? Oh, thank you. He got it. Woo! What is your name, Janine? Moses. No, Moseita. In Spanish, we have masculine and feminine. So we have the O and the A, right? So you are Moseita. You know, little Moses, you know. Loving Moses, right? So what is your name, John?
Moses.
Oh, okay, thank you. So you're Moses. You see, the Bible is there for us to jump into it. Don't read the Bible from a distance. No, jump in it. Jump in the Bible. Become that person. Become like Christ. Become like Joseph, who was in prison. Become like King David, not with all of his messes, but become like King David, right? Become like the Apostle Paul. Now, don't become a serial killer, but become like Apostle Paul. Like Peter. Now, don't deny Christ, but become like Peter after he was restored, right? Secondly, teaching. Look at the name of this book in the scriptures. Exodus. Exodus. Many of us are trapped in our own prisons. We need a... This is for you, Colleen. We need a radical and permanent prison break. My wife was honored and blessed to have been asked to come and speak here to the ladies. And the name of the conference was Prison Break. From calling, right, to deliverance, right? Exactly, you know, she's a speaker, so she knows. So because we are in a captivity, right? We need deliverance one time today with no recovery. Please don't use that word again with me, recovery. We have adopted that word as a church today, and that is not biblical. We have nothing to recover. We need to be delivered. And that is what our Father is an expert of doing.
Amen.
I'm not saying that you don't need a 12th step. That's between you and God. But to me, only one step. Jesus Christ. One step. Exodus is the only exit door. God the Father's name is also Yahweh, which means the one who delivers, not the one who recovers. Egypt is never an option again for Christians. Moses delivered the people out of Egypt temporarily. They went back to Egypt in 3 days. After they saw the biggest miracle to date, a bunch of lifers left prison. God made it happen, and after 3 days, they want to go back to, the same day, they want to go back to Egypt again. However, Egypt, along with their complaining spirit, never left the people as we just read. Pray today that after you leave, before you leave here today, after we finish this message, that God, the Holy Spirit, also God, who comes to dwell in you, who did not come to pay rent, he came to own the house. Christ paid the price, he secured it with the resurrection, and then he gave us the hope of glory that he's going to come back again for his bride to take it to the honeymoon. Pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will take Egypt out of you. Amen. We have too many Christians with Egypt in them. No! Egypt does not belong anymore in a Christian. Amen? Come on, say amen with me, please. Amen. Come on, help me out with this preaching now. Help me out. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Thank you. I like that. We're going to become a shouting church. Let me know how I'm doing. You know, give me the punctuation, okay? Give me the punctuation, like, oh my Lord, exclamation point, you know, give me something. Once again, people that complain the most, they pray the least. Here's the good news. Moses was the type of savior, but Jesus delivers permanently. A little bit of a testimony with integrity. I have to be very careful. I see some kids here, but that's okay. I was a sexual addict. Now with pornography, with the real deal. Ladies are more expensive than alcohol and drugs put together. I was very unfaithful to my former wife. When I became a Christian, I got delivered. Let me ask you a stupid question. I've been married to Barbara now for almost 37 years. If I say to you, look at this. I used to be unfaithful to my former wife before Christ, maybe 150 times a year, 200 times a year. I mean, that's a lot. But now I am only unfaithful to Barbara once a year. Would that work? No. Do you see what I mean? You see what I mean? I was addicted to this sin or whatever the sin. But now I only do it once a year or once a month. No! No! I'm not looking for perfection. I'm looking for maturity. I'm looking for you to understand that we need to become desperate. Yeah. Are you desperate enough? Or are you just living alone thinking that God has to forgive you? No, God does not have to forgive you. Unless you repent. You repent. Right. You repent. Repentance is the first word of the gospel. Not just when you get justified, but also through yourself. Because I also sin too. I have to tell my wife, honey, I repent for many things. But you don't enjoy that sin no more. Let's pray that they take Egypt out of us. Jesus came also to set the captives free and free them indeed from sin, from slavery, guilt, hell, shame. Oh, that's a big one. Christ came to take your shame so you will not be ashamed no more. And there are many who are ashamed. That's Egypt, beloved. That's Egypt. To be ashamed is Egypt. To be shy is Egypt. No, be bold. Be courageous. Be out there. You're an agent of change. You're being saved by a great Savior. Be grateful to Him. Speak for Him. Become a voice for others. Right, Phil? You cannot stay quiet. Can you stay quiet? Don't be quiet. God does not have agents that are secret. Speak up. Amen. People are going to hell. Amen. You are the agent of change. You are that person. You are a vehicle of mercy. You got mercy, right? Give it to others. That makes sense? Notice now I'm going to come to a conclusion here, but I want to, break it down. This is an important message. Yeah. This is the most important message that I have given. It is so critical for now. You have to read the times. You have to read what times we are living, what time it is. We are living in urgent times. Notice in the verses 1 through 5 that the people's timetable for Moses to come back from his mission, intimate meeting with Yahweh in his inner glory to get the Ten Commandments, was very different from Yahweh's timetable. Hence, the people reacted in fear out of an unhealthy emotional desperation driven by self, which always leads you and us to not be respectful to others and to the sin of idolatry, and to make things worse. Number one, Aaron, Moses' brother, his confidant that he was supposed to trust, failed to restrain the stiff-necked people and reminded them from where Moses was and of his sacred mission. He knew what he was, but he didn't speak up. The biggest sin that we can commit as Christians is to be silent. I hope that you have your glove on. Number two, Aaron gave in very fast to the people's demand without even putting up a fight. We are fighters. Aaron was a coward. Do you know that being a coward is the number one sin that will keep you out of heaven? We have too many men in America that are cowards. The reason that we do what we do is because people in prison have no father. Their father in America has lost his way. Big time. Even if you're home, you may not even be home. That's another theme for the men here sometime. Number three, Aaron betrayed Yahweh big time, which drove him and the people to the sin of idolatry. Change of allegiance, adultery, the great sin, and misappropriation of funds. not Pavlote, but you know how many pastors should be in prison because they are misappropriating funds? Right. That might be your new ministry, Paulito, to catch pastors who are abusing the funds. Amen. Waste, right? That was assigned to the tabernacle. They used it for the golden calf. Wow. for the Rolls Royce, for an airplane, for the $3 million house. Be careful how you use the money. Come to my house and see how I live. I'm serious. I am very serious. Come to my house and see how we live. Please do. Please do. Here are three quick takeaways from each of us to immediately adapt from verses 1 through 5. Number one, prayerfully yield to Yahweh's timetable and sovereign will. Number two, hence, don't act out of desperation. Your emotions or others' opinions or demands, don't let people drive you. Don't be a coward, but rather lead with consistent integrity and courage. Number three, be prayerful and discerning of who you hire. Who you hire at the print shop. Right? You have to be careful who you hire. Even in the church, I have found out that in the church today, in the ministry today, people want to do the least for the most. Poquito por mucho dinero. No. We as a ministry, here we are. You know, he's here right now. Pat is the chairman of our finance committee. He knows. We do the most for the least with the least. You hear that? We do the most, we stretch it. We do the most for the least with the least. We have people from prison sending money to us. That's crazy. $2. $2.50. $50 from prison. I'm humble. I have to be careful how I spend the money. That's what we have, Pat Savaggio as our chairman. And my wife is incredible. Don't spend that money. Don't spend that money. Man, she gets on my case, you know, okay? Now, notice in verses 6 through 10, the people got up early. This is I'm going to give you a tough one here. The people got up early to play. Be entertained. Have you heard that before? To be entertained. I'm so thankful that you don't have light here. I'm so thankful that you don't have smoke screens here either. I'm so thankful that we are not coming to a discotheque here either. I'm just saying. Don't ever allow that here. Don't ever allow that here. And hence to have church and worship. They were having church. They were having worship. Their way. In what I call today. The me church movement. Engage in a type of fertility and cult orgy. That's what we saw in the text. I'm just telling you what I saw on the text. Hence, Yahweh's holy reputation was tarnished as the people brought him much shame. So he got really angry. He got hot, caliente, se puso bravo, con mucho genio. He was caliente, he was hot, he was furious with justifiable holy wrath. You know what we got saved from? Romans 5, from the justifiable wrath of God. You know what happened on the cross? Jesus drank the cup of wrath. So you and I can drink right now the cup of mercy. That's justice and mercy kissed at the cross. That's the gospel. I'm giving you the gospel too, by the way. So Yahweh interrupts his conversation. And dictation of the Ten Commandments. Could you imagine he was having a dictation of the Ten Commandments? Because these people have been enslaved all of their lives. And they needed to have some structure. Because they were going wild, right? They were going wild, right? So he stops that to Moses. Disown his people. Could you imagine? You and I being disowned by God. Oh, man. I'm not saying that you can lose your salvation if you're a real Christian, though. Just because you came forward, just because you come here to church, does not make you into a Christian. And tells Moses to get down rapido, quickly, really fast, because the people have corrupted themselves. Turn from their way. He was clearly commanded them, just like we have done today. Then Yahweh tells Moses the unthinkable. I'm going to wipe them all out. He's done that before. He's done that before. Left only 8 around. And then he didn't speak to the people for 400 years. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Remember, he fired Moses. He fired him. Nobody here is indispensable. Nobody. Nobody is. Only Christ. Says, I'm going to wipe them out except for you and perhaps Joshua. Now, this is important now. Here are 3 quick takeaways for us to adopt now from verses 6 through 10. Number 1, I need you now to take a radical time out. Examine. To prayerfully take inventory and make sure we are not worshiping the devil in Jesus' name. And become enemies of the cross. You don't want to become an enemy of the cross. You want to come to the cross. You want to die at the cross. John Piper said this, I quote, that the cross is not only an objective object where Christ died for us, but it's also a subjective object where we have to die to self. Your mission and mine is to die to self so I can pray. If you have self on the altar, you are not going to pray. You hear that? If self is still kicking, you are not going to pray. Number 2, be prayerfully intentional. Love is intentional. Love is creative. Love takes work. Love has to be planned to clean your house up of self, of all the idols. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. When my mother became a Christian, she was a santera, espiritista, brujera. She was a medium. She worshiped the devil. When she got saved that night, she came home and she cleaned the whole house. Santa Bárbara, San Lázaro, la Virgen de Reyla, la Virgen de las Mercedes, las 7 potencias africanas, I mean, los cocos, de coconut con el aguardiente. Ay, Señor. Con el tabaco. That was a lesson for me. Is your house clean? You know what really makes all the kings of Judah guilty? Nobody cleaned up the whole house completely. They left too many high places. I'm just teaching you this morning. You want God to hear you? Don't be an obstacle. Don't hinder. Get out of the way. Let God work. We are our worst enemies. 3, be prayerful about what church to join. I recommend this church. That's why you see many of my friends here. It's hard for me to recommend churches. I'm telling you, it is really hard. It is really difficult today to find a biblical, driven, gospel, loving church. Amen. Yes. I am serious. I am serious. This church, I love you guys. I feel part of you guys. I'm humbled to be here. I'm humbled to be your pastor friend. I'm humbled to know Pablito. I am. I mean, first time that I met this man, he was the senior VP for NICOR. I went to his office on the ninth floor of the NICOR building. He was all dressed, you know, what am I doing here, you know? My next convict with this guy, the senior VP of NICOR, you know? But then he and I have become great friends. I mean, he calls me about everything. I am honored about that. I am honored that I can be his friend. I'm humbled to be his friend. I mean, we have nothing. We don't leave nothing on the table. We talk about everything. Everything. He talks everything. We are friends. We keep in touch all the time. He was supposed to go to the Bahamas today or to Bermuda, but he came here. Thank you. That means a lot to me, Pablito. Crazy. Be prayerful about what church you to join. Make sure that church is committed intentionally to be making Jesus' house of prayer a house of prayer. Lastly, let's look at the verses 11 through 14. Here we see exactly the who we must pray to. Because sometimes we forget who are we praying to? who are we praying to? To the air? No, you're not. And the why do we pray? And the what? And the how of our prayers, as well as the reason of our title. I gave you a long title, but I want to break that down for you again. Of our title and subtitle for this message, let me say it one more time. What an intersectional biblical prayer looks like, and its purpose, subtitle, the uncompromising glory and promises of God the Father. Here we go. In verse 11, Moses got in there. He got in there before the face of God Adonai. That's another name. In his prayer of intercession, and even argue with Yahweh. It's okay to argue with God. It is okay to bounce on his chest, his strong chest. You can tell him whatever you want. He can take it. He can take it. And even argue with Yahweh with the very promise. That's it. Let me ask you a question. How many promises do you think are in the Bible? Give me a number. Huh? You see, he's been one of my disciples. He got it. 7,000. How many do we know? When you pray, the fuel of your prayers, the engine is prayer. The fuel that you put in that engine has to be the word of God. And you have to put God's promise. Because God will never go back down on his promises. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. That's for sure. He will be with you too. I mean, no matter what you go through, he'll be with you. He'll be with you in the valley. He will be with you in the mountain. Right, Ben? He prayed the promises that Yahweh made to Abraham. Although he messed up. Why do you think that we are involved in this war today? Iran, America, Israel. Why? Because of Abraham. Abraham messed up. If you mess up, many people will mess up after you. Adam messed up. We all messed up. The Bulls lost. We all lost. The Bears lose, we all lose. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, right? If you go to Notre Dame, they lose, they lost the game, and we all lose the game. That's what he went to school to. And he had the only championship NCAA. He was the kicker for the Notre Dame team right there. Regardless of the danger, as Moses was determined to defend the holy reputation of the glory of his father. After all, Yahweh was burning with anger and commanded Moses to leave him alone. However, Moses was compelled by the urgency not to bring shame to his father, but rather hallow his name in bigger ways. And beloved, that must be our daily commitment and resolution in our prayer life for 2026 in this church and beyond. Let me ask you this question. If you get into an argument with somebody and the guy gets hot, he wants to kill you, he wants, what do you usually do? I walk away, right? Yeah. Not Moses. Right. He fought. Yeah. He fought with God. That's pretty crazy. He didn't walk away because his glory was at stake. He went in there in the fire. On 9/11, what happened? People went on the fire of the two towers, right? And they died, right? They went on the fire, right? He didn't walk away. So here are our final five profound, radical takeaways for all of us to adopt now. Number one, we must pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit. Now, you can pray if you want to. That's okay. You can pray to Jesus and you can pray to the Holy Spirit. And we taught that carefully, you know, yesterday. But the motto of prayer is that you pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ in the Spirit. Number two, our prayers must be driven, motivated by the hallowing of the Father's holy name, fully determined not to bring the Father any more shame. Number three, our prayer of intercession are not to manipulate nor twist God the Father's mighty arm, but rather they must be specific with deep compassion and burning love, fueled by the word of God, his promises, as we also advocate to see others rescued from the justifiable wrath of God the Father. Number four, Moses prayed passionately in verses 12 and 13, and I want you to really get this one. This is the motto of intercessional prayer. It is right here. Now, it has consequences because our sin has consequences, but here it is. He says, verse 12, why should the Egyptians speak and say he brought them out of to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath. I mean, he's talking this to God. He said, I mean, this is a prayer. Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham. Now he's talking about his promise. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, Jacob, right? Your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. Now look with the first type of confidence in Christ. When we pray, we have to pray with confidence. We have to pray with belief. Belief is our confidence. Belief is our confidence. Not in you, not in what you're praying. No, in Christ. In Christ is your confidence. Verse 15.5, verse 14. Verse 14, God the Father relented. Bless you. Relented, just like Moses prayed. Radically, however, with consequences for the people, as later in the same chapter 32, we see a 9/11 type of experience where 3,000 got killed. There's a consequence. And on top of that, God said, you know what? I'm going to send you more. There was a pestilence. Remember, our sin continues to have the consequence of death. But Christ defeated death forever. Hallelujah. Now, let me give you the most powerful one verse in the Bible of the gospel. Here it is. For he, God the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. that we might become what? The righteousness of God. Egypt has to leave. The Father in him, Christ Jesus. In conclusion, why did I tell you that the war today in Iran and the USA, you know, people are dying? You know, Israel as well. Because Abraham failed in his obedience. He failed in his trust. He and Sarah laugh in God's face. Don't you ever laugh in God's face. To hallow the name of the Father, what do I mean by that? Is to honor him. To worship him. To adore him. To respect him. He's holy and you're not. However, you become holy because of his righteousness, of Christ's righteousness. Not because of you. We are evil people. We're not good people. I mean, we see it all the time. Right? So what happened? Sarah tells her husband, go and sleep with the slave. Hagar. And what happened? Who came out of that? Huh? Say it one more time. Yeah. Ishmael. And then God kept his promise anyway. But sometimes it might take 10 years. Might take 15 years. Are you going to give up? No. We ask, we seek, and we knock until God makes the delivery. Don't go to door B. Door B will give you what you want. But then he'll ask you for your soul. And there are many Christians today in conflict. Shallow believing, wrong doctrines. Jesus, I don't know what Jesus people are putting their trust in today. And then we justify it. Father, forgive us. Father, forgive us. So obey without delay. Trust the Father. Ain't going to come without you making a commitment today, right now. I say, Father, forgive me because I have not been praying. I've been too busy doing nothing. I've been worrying too much. I'm depressed. I'm angry at you. Because you're not coming through for me when I tell you to. I'm going to keep doing my alcohol. I'm going to keep doing my drugs. I'm going to keep smoking my little marijuana. I'm going to keep doing what I'm not supposed to be doing. I don't pray. I don't read the Bible. I'm too busy. That's Egypt. Can we just take a moment? I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to do that. But I just want us to take a little time, to reflect in this message. If anything here has spoke to you, remember, you don't have a ministry unless you have a ministry of prayer. Said, Father, help me to be aligned with Christ. I need a little alignment. Don't deviate. It's so easy to deviate, right? Let me be aligned with Christ. So, Father, I thank you for this, you people. I'm so humble, so grateful to be here because I feel like I'm speaking to my family here, Father God. This is a family reunion, a family conversation, a little radical time out that we have taken here today so we can be aligned with Christ and become like Christ and to cultivate his same prayer life. We want to pray like Christ. We want to get into your inner glory, Father God. Father, we want to lament, we want to supplicate, but we also need to intercede, Father God, because we cannot be so selfish that we only just think about ourselves. No, we don't need to be consumed with self. We want to be consumed with others. So help us today to love the cross as much as Christ did and does. Help us to adapt the obedience of Christ, I pray. Help us to operate in the resurrection of Christ. Help us to be joyful and to fight for our joy, for our joyful peace. Help us to give a good testimony. Help us to reflect your glory, Father God. Father, I pray that for everybody in this room, that they will be hungry for your glory, not to bring you shame and to know your promises and to pray your promises, I pray. So I pray, Father God, that you will send revival to this church, beginning with each of us, Father, and that we will truly become a house of prayer. Father, rebuke the devil and his demons and agents against any plans or schemes against this body of Christ, this local congregation. And I thank you, Father God, for my dear friend Pablote, Pastor Paul Sommerfeld, Father. Use him, Father, to lead this flock to the cross, that we will become partakers of your grace. That is prayer. And that we will believe, Father, not doubt, but to believe that you are able to do the impossible, Father God. Oh, I pray that we will believe that, Father God, for your glory, for our joy, and the benefit of many, I pray, in Jesus' name. I don't know how much time I took, but who cares, right? I thank you so much for your time. Love you.